Hi, I'm Leisha, and this is my sister Kyle.
Hey, I'm Kyle, and that's my sister Leisha.
Welcome to
the Long Lost Sisters Podcast.
Hey friends, today we have some interesting news for you. As of yesterday, yesterday, we have
two days ago.
Thank you, Kyle, for correcting me. We have another new sibling, potentially two. Even more developing information about our clinic and the bulk of lies that they told to many, many people. And the horror that is trying to process the news that there are most likely at least 100 siblings, probably more, if we're really being honest with ourselves. So, I don't know how you're feeling about this news, Kyle, but maybe you'd like to share.
Yeah, so just to, like, take half a step backwards, when we recorded our trailer, we said we're 2 of 11, so there were 11 of us so far, and now we're at potentially 14. And so that's in just a span of a couple weeks that we gained three more. And it is a ball of, like, different emotions all wrapped into one. It is a series of, like, excitement for more siblings, but also the horror, kind of like you mentioned, Leisha, that is just the numbers that could potentially exist. One of our brothers said in the Discord yesterday that, like, right now we're at, like, a large family. Yep. So it's not, like, there's a lot of us, but it's not, like, an unheard of number.
Yeah.
But then when you think about the ages of everybody and how the numbers that we were kind of talking about in our sibling group chat, it gets overwhelming really fast.
It does. I think a key detail is that the newest sibling addition that we have is an individual who was born a day before Kyle, which makes three siblings born within 6 weeks, which is a lot more intense than I think any of us ever signed up for. Before this, the gaps, there were still the twins, as we mentioned, are born, like, only a few months after Kyle. So there are groups, I guess, of us that are close together, but overall there were a lot of age gaps. Typically there was, like, a year between me and another young brother, and then another couple of years between the next one. Like, there are larger age gaps between us, and now all of a sudden there's, like, oh, okay, 3 and 1 here, not even 3 and 6 weeks.
Right, 6 weeks. And I was talking to our oldest sister. She's the one who so far is our oldest sibling, and she is 6 weeks to the day older than me. The thing that I was thinking, too, when we found out our newest brother, who's one day older than me, and we found out his age, I was thinking, I was 3 weeks late. So I would have been, like, smack dab right in the middle of the two of them, of Claire and this newest sibling, which then makes you think, like, oh, so they're, like, every 3 weeks, we're just going to use this person. It feels like. We don't know that for sure.
I mean, according to him, he donated once a week for 10 years. And
right.
I spoke a little bit with my partner about this last night, and I explained, like, we're live supply, which means our sperm supplier would get to the clinic and do his business, and then our mother would go in and be inseminated with this super fresh hot semen. And apparently it was very quote-unquote reliable, so take that for what you will. I don't know personally. I'm like, we're questioning, okay, so is pops like super potent in the beginning, or are there a lot closer to 500, right? Because once a week for 10 years, there's 52 weeks in a year. That's approximately 500 accurate conceptions if every single time is successful, which is not accurate in fertility. You know, in a normal month, the chance of getting pregnant when two people are trying to conceive is 25%. If there's no like added fertility issues in there, that's the percentage of like successful conceptions. So like, that those are still some real high numbers you're working with.
Right, because even when we factor in that percentage and then like loss percentage and everything that can happen during pregnancy, you're still at easily 100.
Also, mind you, this is like people that are actively working with doctors to conceive, monitoring their fertility when they're most fertile throughout the month. You know, you want to have the most successful odds if you're paying somebody for their splunk, I would think. But
right. And one of our brothers who is on like kind of the younger end too, his mom had tried other donors before ours, and it, for whatever reason, she wasn't able to get pregnant. And so she went in once and told them, I just want something that works. And our donor worked. So that is, he's 5 years younger than me.
Yeah, I recall it took 11 tries, which is quite a few. Mm-hmm. And I believe so. He's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah. So even then, and we do know so far that the youngest is 23.
Yeah.
So that's a 9-year gap.
Yeah.
Which validates what our donor said about, like, I was donating for this long. And starting to get into this, like, having three of us so close together too is just another reason that I have like realized I don't trust anything, any information that we have from the clinic itself.
No, which we should say that it came out, one of our siblings has lesbian moms, and so the clinic told them like, oh well, because you can't tell your child that they're not donor conceived. Like basically they were telling parents to lie to their children and say that they were conceived naturally if they had heterosexual parents. And if they had homosexual parents, they're like, well, I guess you can't lie to your kids, so I guess you gotta tell them. Which, so for me, I found out at a young age, and mostly because my father figure left, and it was like, oh, well, it's okay. He's not really your dad.
Which is supposed to just magically lessen any sort of emotional trauma.
What are you talking about? I don't have any daddy issues. I don't know what you're saying. No, I'm fine. I'm great. 100%. Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think I would have not known for a lot longer if not for that as well.
Right.
But that's the thing. This newest sibling didn't know until a month ago, and they're again a day older
than 32. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's pretty insane. Like, to one, be telling people, that's the thing. Like, it's not necessarily entirely these parents' faults for not 100% doing the right thing and telling their children everything when they didn't know better. And now, like, I think there's a lot more information coming out there that we have a right to this information. Our health information is like so important. I can't even begin to explain that, like, it can be a life or death situation if you don't tell your child that their DNA isn't what they think it is, that their health history isn't what they think it is. Like, that's serious stuff that you really shouldn't be messing with. And I really hope that anybody that did use a sperm donor or an egg donor and hasn't told their child, like, really reconsiders this, mostly for that aspect. It doesn't change your relationship with your kid. Like, there is still those years of history that you share with them, but, like, it's mandatory that they know that information about themselves, and sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think you cause more harm hiding that information, just as a person who is an adult now.
Yeah. I think it seems easier at the time to, like, not have to explain it. 'Cause, yeah, like,
right.
How do you explain sperm donor conception to a child? Like, it's a weird one.
Yeah. It is.
It's, you know, something.
And I do, like you were saying, understand some parents not revealing that information if you're told by medical professionals.
Literally.
Hey, don't tell your kid. Then, like, yeah.
They don't need to know. It's fine.
Right. Which, like, there's so many issues in that. And just, like, our thoughts of, so are we supposed to just DNA test anybody that we have, like, a physical relationship with then? Or how do you, so there's so many lies. You can't trust anybody's parents. Like,
no, basically, I mean, for me, anybody that was born in the Bay Area is off limits at this point. But even still, like, hypothetically, somebody could be conceived and have left the area. I don't think right. That's likely, because I would think that your doctors are based here at that point. But they moved after a few years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a sibling who doesn't live. We have two siblings who don't live in the country, but one of them who was raised in France.
Yes. Yeah. Like, their parents are French, came here, conceived a baby, lived here for a brief, but I don't know how long, and then moved back to France. By the way, yes, we have a baby. We have a cat baby. Yeah, it's life, y'all.
Yeah, so this newest sibling has really brought up some things that I guess I haven't really, I've kind of, like, pushed to the back of my mind. I'm just like, no, I just want to work on, like, getting to know my siblings and building these connections and kind of, like, learning who we are as people now and how
with our large family group.
Right. But then when you hear, oh, here's the sibling who was born one day before you, who also has a sibling they were raised with who's could potentially be
our sibling as
our
well.
Sibling as well. It's a lot at once.
It is. I definitely don't think on a day-to-day or, you know, in general, on a day-to-day basis, I'm not overtly overwhelmed with the fact that I could have a bulk of siblings out there, even though that is a conversation we have had before. It is a reality that we're well aware of.
Yeah.
But I think having it thrown in your face again is always jarring, especially when it currently is just so tangibly real.
Yeah. So when you and I first found each other, we did have, like, a handful of siblings then. So there were, I spoke to our first sibling and then our second sibling within, like, 2 days of each other. And the second sibling told me that we had a third sibling. So that happened, like, relatively quickly. But then it was kind of a slow build from there. And then last summer, we found two within a few weeks of each other, but then, like, nothing for a while.
Which one of those was one I
Yeah. She's
I just
a whole
covered
other thing.
that's a whole other story for a whole other day, but yeah.
Yeah. Somebody that you basically grew up with.
Yeah, no, we're gonna save it. We're gonna save it. It's too good of a story. It's a whole other can of worms.
So stay tuned for that one.
Stay tuned, please. It's a good
But then
story.
at Leisha's urging, she got a DNA test and was our sibling. And then a few weeks later, we connected with another sibling, and then it was just quiet for a little while. But then we had one connection a few weeks ago, and that
Right, and then
person
failed.
connected and then made all of their stuff private. So we haven't spoken to this person, so we don't know all of the information, but percentages and connections and all the DNA stuff, just that's a sibling. So we're counting that person in our total number right now. And then 2 days ago, we get this connection of one for sure, potentially two, and our confirmed sibling, a day older than me, his sibling was born in a year where two of our other confirmed siblings were also born.
Three siblings potentially in 1 year,
Right. We
which
don't
is a lot.
know the third birth, like actual birth date yet,
No.
but we do know that he's 95.
Yeah, they do say we're both now part of a Facebook group called We Are Donor Conceived, where like there are these things about like seasonal DNA kit discounts and stuff or gifting. So like the holidays are just now like getting the results from the holiday kits that were given. So like this is a thing that we experience. Ancestry, 23andMe, MyHeritage, whatever other ones are out there. If you would please, please, if you happen to hear this or somebody tags you because of this, please sponsor us for DNA kits. We would really appreciate it. We would love to get this, for example, potential new sibling tested that is like very public. 98% sure. Like I would say lies are the 2%. Like who knows? So we could completely not have another new half sibling, or we'd like probably do, but you know, given this clinic,
Yeah, who knows?
you can't see that face audially. I'm really sorry.
You can hear it, I'm sure, too.
Hopefully.
It just is hard. I think part of my almost confusion too is we already have a spreadsheet for our siblings to like keep track of information, like birth dates and favorite things. I don't want us to just be data to each other.
That's fair. And that's, I mean, it's hard. Like I can't imagine coming in to it being the 13th sibling, let alone being the 25th, the 50th, the 123rd. Like honestly, that and it's hard 'cause like I love the people in my life that are so curious. But it's getting hard sometimes to answer these questions of like, oh my God, who are they? Like, where are they? It's hard when I'm so like I am excited about siblings, but it's getting just more and more terrifying that there's so many of us. I know it's just the reality of our lives. I'm like, it's okay, but it's also not okay. And like
Yeah. And I think it's really important that it's okay to not be, for us to not be okay, and it has nothing to do with the siblings we're gaining.
exactly. And that's what's so hard to explain. But I think if you are one of our siblings, you get it. Because unfortunately, you have to because you're in it and it's a lot. And like you learn to love your siblings, or that's the thing we have. And like the bond that I'm so excited to have Claire on the podcast The
Me
one
too.
that I share with Claire and Kyle is more than I could have asked for sisters, and I'm excited to develop those bonds with more of my siblings over time. Like, we got each other through some hard times in the past few years that really enabled us to get closer, and I know that life will hand all of us more of those times to support each other through, so we will get there with our siblings if they'll let us. Like, relationships are a two-way street in that way. Like, both parties have to be willing to get to know each other and to bond. But at the same time, when you think of how do you remember 100 and whatever names? How do you not become just a number, just a dot? My name isn't even already easy to say when you read it. Like, how are people gonna know who I am if not for even this podcast now at this point? Like,
Right.
it was just wild in itself to think about.
I mean, I'm glad that we started this because I think that as we gain siblings, we'll kind of be able to see our process too.
And we plan on having siblings on more frequently so that you'll get to know them, but also, like, you being either a new sibling of ours or just a casual listener will get to hear more about our siblings that may or may not be yours.
Right. So we have this, which is great. And we have our Discord,
You
which
do.
is great because I know our newest sibling did go back through some of the older information and has been able to kind of like see what we've been talking about, and catch up on some information and pictures and information about our donor. And it's all there.
And information about their nieces and nephews.
Right. So I'm glad that we have those things in place already, because I think that the more there are, that the more important that'll be just to be able to connect to us as humans in general. But then there's also like, like you just mentioned, our like nieces and nephews. You're not just, I mean, at this point, we're all adults. We all have our own lives. Some of us have children, and so now you're not just gaining this like new stranger sibling, you're also gaining their families.
Yeah, it's a lot to take
Yeah,
on.
and then I start to think of like our nephew who's 12, and how that affects him too. Like, there's just all of these
I mean, my kid, I was
things.
like, surprise! Guess who has another uncle today? And
Right.
it's funny. In the same way that you're like laugh crying over it, just because, I mean, again, like, what? It's fine. She's gonna have to learn a lot of names, and she's gonna be real smart kid.
And hopefully, very spoiled. I mean, if you
Hope
have a
no.
birthday and each, even half of the aunts and uncles get you one thing, you're set. I mean, I of course think of your daughter too. She's younger. She's about to be one. So it feels like potentially it's a little bit easier because she's starting off
Grow up
with,
with this.
right. Not that it makes it any easier, because it's not any easier for us either. But we didn't know about our nephew until he was nine.
Yeah, for her it'll be more of the norm, and for him I think it's weird. And that's something that perhaps he'll be willing to share with us, or his mom might be willing to share with us one day, but I can only imagine. Just also maybe not even thinking about it because it's just like too far out of,
Well, you're also a kid, and like,
and like
we don't
you don't
all
think about
live close
this.
together, so it's not
No.
a constant like barrage of new people that you're meeting necessarily,
Yet.
which is good, probably.
No.
But I just think of all of those ripple effects.
Yeah.
Two, and I think that's where I start to kind of overwhelm myself of not just are we meeting one new person.
That's their whole tribe, too.
Right. And their whole backstory. And I mean, I'm not very good at making new friends. So, I mean, at one point, like, siblings are great because they're kind of like built, we have this one like very strong, obvious connection. So you can kind of go on that. But like, I don't really meet new people very often at this point in my life. I mean, I used to, of course, but I'm getting older now and just kind of like settling into my own
Yeah.
life. And so then it's just like this, I don't want to overwhelm the new person, and I don't want to like force a relationship or a friendship on them. But I do, just every time we hear that there's a new sibling, I do feel like my heart is like, no, I need to know this person. Like, I want to build this connection and know everything about them and like talk to them all the time. And it just doesn't always happen like
I'm
that.
really sorry to our siblings, but we have cyber stalked you. And
Yep.
you know what? You've probably done it too. If you're our sibling, there's a really good chance you've done it too. And if you
Yeah.
haven't, then this is your opportunity to now do it. It's okay. We've probably done it to you. And if not, we probably will in the future. It's just how people our age get to know each other, especially if we're really curious and we can't wait for you to tell us. Because, I get it. Sometimes it takes time, but we're impatient and we're very curious. And once again, if you're our sibling, you probably are too. So it's okay. You probably get it. And ideally, love us for it and not hate us for it. And if you do, it's okay. We can talk through it. We're here for that too.
Yeah, we're learning. I mean, it is like a big thing of like, we're learning how to be a sibling and a person who does have to kind of wait for somebody else to like acclimate.
Yeah. Which in general it's a lot, and you don't know how this person was raised. You don't know the information they know. You don't know if they never knew they were donor conceived or if they just found out or if they've known their whole lives. You don't know if they were raised really conservative, perhaps, and still have those ideals. Like we haven't encountered that yet, but that is something that I'm now waiting for.
Yeah, and
Holding
I
my
mean,
breath because
we do all have like v very different upbringings
we do, and
and like
sometimes it's
familiar
hard.
structures.
Yeah, which I know that we've experienced conversations amongst us that we've had to remind each other of one of us has experienced this hardship, and maybe we need to take a second to rethink how we're speaking about this topic because it's hard to for this individual, and I think that's enabling us to make all of us more empathetic, but it's also overwhelming to have to always remember everything about everyone. I'm sure I'm a little bit more adept at it than others, perhaps, but I know that it's not something that always comes immediately for everyone. And it's important for us to remember to have grace for each other. And I think all of us have been doing a good job at that, but
Yeah, we're all also seemingly very passionate people.
sometimes too
So,
passionate.
exactly. So, we all have different passions,
Yeah.
and some of those overlap in such a way that it can be frustrating. And to have to be like, okay, I love this person. I am giving this, per like, this person is not doing anything. This sibling is not doing anything out of like spite or trying to like get at any other sibling. It is just their truth. But sometimes having to like remind people to like reel that in a little bit and be just be more mindful. But like a lot of us were raised as only children, and that's an adjustment.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring back up, because a friend of mine actually reminded me of that when we dropped our trailer, that I was an only child my entire life until I was 24 years old, 25 years old. It's a really long time to be an only child and then have many a sibling.
I was 29. So you do get established in your own ways of thinking and interactions with people, and like sometimes it doesn't matter because who really cares what people think, but if they're your sibling,
It's hard.
you it does kind of, like to me anyway, it does matter.
Yeah, and that's something that like perhaps we'll have to work on, as individuals. And that's okay too.
Yeah, for sure. It's all just a learning process, for sure. It's a lot of learning. I think, do you kind of want to dive into the doubt that it creates? Like, I know for me personally, I've always kind of had some trust issues, but this has definitely not helped that with like the clinic and the stuff that we have more recently learned
That's fair.
as far as our siblings go.
I guess for me, it's hard because talking about our parents is going to be tough in general, but it's something that we plan on doing. So, disclaimer to my mom, hopefully you're not listening. If you are, and everyone, just take what we say with a grain of salt. Like, this is our knowledge, this is our truth. Again, like, I don't think I would have known the truth if not for my father figure leaving, and like, I was a part of their breakup. He was verbally abusive and cheating on her, and just like, not a good partner. He was a really great dad to me, and so like, I was really messed up when he wasn't in my life anymore. And after they broke up, like he still would spend time with me like he was my father for like a few years. I mean, that and finding out that, it actually didn't cost a lot of money to make me. Like insurance actually, fortunately enough, I don't know why, because health insurance usually sucks ass, but for whatever reason they decided to pay for me. So thank you. Cool, I guess. But also, again, like I always had this perception my whole life that I was so expensive and basically like one of the designer goods that my mom enjoys so much. So yeah, I mean, like I don't know what's true. I can only guess, and I'm guessing I wouldn't have known if not, and that's what it is. I'm lucky that I am usually a trusting person. And as my partner reminded me, luckily their parents are immigrants, so we're not related.
Yeah, my partner looks exactly like his father,
And well, the main thing is now, I just can't have sex with anyone else ever again, which like is okay, but like also not really okay with me.
right.
Spoiler alert, we're both in open relationships. But now I'm too afraid to have sex with anyone ever again that isn't DNA tested before touching me in a romantic way.
I mean, that is definitely something we will also get into at some point, our relationships and how this affects it, as well as just like what it's like to be us in the relationships we're in.
And how we got there.
But even that, like taking it back to our siblings, a lot of us share like weird things, like things you wouldn't expect to be like. I mean, I know that like your preferences aren't genetic, but having sisters to be like, oh yeah, I also like
Some niche interest.
it just is like interesting. And then people are like, well, why are you talking to your siblings about that? And I'm like, I don't know, we're fully grown adult strangers. Like,
I know some people do talk about sex with their siblings. I don't think that that should be taboo.
I don't think so either. I don't really, I think, I mean, again, we'll get into this at a later, in a later episode. I think that it's a lot more hush hush than it should be. I think that if we normalized a lot of things that,
Yeah, okay. American culture is whack, and sex positivity needs to be more of a thing. And this podcast will remind you of that every once in a while, but not too often. Just enough.
But even as somebody who was raised by two women, I didn't officially know until I was, in my memory anyway, 11. And I really did think up until then that my mom had just like hooked up with somebody. Either, you know, something, whatever. I thought that like maybe they had had an agreement and used a friend, basically.
Your friendly uncle. Uncle-y friend, those situations.
But it really does like shift things. And the more we gain siblings, I want to like be supportive of them too, and kind of like almost refinding themselves, ourselves, like us too, because it shifts a lot of, it can shift a lot of what you thought about yourself. And I mean, I feel terrible for all of the exes that I told that my fiery personality comes from being half Puerto Rican. Like, ew. Why would you do that, self? But also, like, that's what I thought my truth was at the time. And like our newest sibling has a name that is like very obviously a certain
Nationality.
nationality, thank you. And so I'm curious like what his thoughts are too. We have another brother who hopefully we'll have that conversation with him, but was raised thinking something very different than what our genetics actually are.
Very like opposite, as opposite as possible from Ashkenazi Jewish as you can get.
So you're meeting all of these people who are related to you and also strangers, but not even just like related to you as in like a third cousin, but like your sibling. And at the same time, learning things about yourself that you never knew. It's a lot. It's a lot at once.
I mean, I had to take a break from the Discord yesterday, because we were talking numbers, and by numbers, I mean volume of siblings. Everyone was talking about how we're commodities, or it's hard not to feel like a commodity and dehumanized. And it's hard because I hadn't felt that way until somebody else said it, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, am I feeling that way? Should I be feeling that way? And maybe I am. Maybe, like, it's hard not to take on what somebody else said when it, and yeah, I don't know. Those are feelings that we have that are out there.
And that, I mean, that brings up something too of this like, yes, it is great to have other people to be able who are in the same boat with us to be able to process our feelings together. The other side of that is exactly what Leisha said in this, like, they bring up things that you hadn't thought about or hadn't felt, and then you start to think about those things.
And then you start to feel that way too.
And it's this like very interesting and difficult process to be part of this pretty large group now that is full of people who are very caring, but also we all have anxiety disorders. And just being able, like, trying to process that together and also separately and protect yourself while also being like a good sibling and there for other people is a lot. And I know that personally, as one of the older siblings, I do feel like protective.
Yeah, do you feel some added pressure in a
Yeah.
sense?
Yeah, I
You
do.
don't, you should, don't.
No, I mean, and also I just do that. I do that to myself in everything, but it does definitely affect me in a way of like I have known a lot longer than quite a few of our siblings, and I was one of the earliest like to find out we had I was one of the earlier ones to find out I was donor conceived. Then I was also one of the earlier ones to find out that we have siblings, and for a while I was the oldest, and I'm still, top three oldest, and probably I think will stay that way. But it does kind of lead, like, give me these feelings of like I need to protect our like newer siblings too. And it's hard because I don't want to, again, overstep boundaries or like tell a sibling that I know more information because another sibling told. Like, it does get into these things of like I know more about our newest sibling's story than he's particularly told me personally. And so I don't want to be like, hey, I already know this information. Do you want to talk about it? Also, like, he's a 32-year-old man. Like, I don't know how much he wants to like process.
Yeah, it's that's what's so hard is we don't know where we're meeting somebody at. And it often, like, especially when you're communicating just over text, and that can be so limited. You can't hear tone. Like, you don't actually know how somebody is doing, or like if they're actually okay or not, or if they're eager and excited for siblings, or if they sound wary and hesitant. Like, sometimes how somebody responds will be more lengthy and verbose, and that gives you an indication, and sometimes it's not, and that doesn't mean that they're not interested either. Also, like, again, this individual's a 32-year-old man, own life, everything going on. Like, I have my own life, everything going on. I'm not always 100% good at texting people, especially if it's not somebody I text regularly, I guess. Like, yeah, like there's a few people I'm good at texting, and then there's a lot of people I'm really bad at texting.
Same.
Sorry. Yeah. And it's hard to like become better at that because I think, again, with anxiety, like it sometimes your brain tells you sending something is going to take longer than it does, or like you're trying to say so much to this person because you don't know them, and then you're halfway through this long paragraph and you have to go do something, and then you forget, and then you miss the message, it goes away because you took too long to go back. It's like a whole thing.
Right. And if there's, I think, nine of us in the Discord right now.
Oh my
So
God, yeah, it's can be hard.
that adds another thing, too. If you're not having a one-on-one discussion, the discussions move
So
quickly.
fast. I didn't look at my phone and there was like 50 to 80 messages. I was like, oh my God,
Right.
okay,
Which is
luckily it was like
overwhelming in
quick, but
itself.
yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, so then you're like, I'm gonna take a break to like give myself some space and like some time to process these things. And then you come back and there's
So much to catch up, and then you're even more
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I think that all of our siblings understand this. I hope. I hope that they all know how much I can feel like I'm pretty confident and we like care about them. And also realizing as individuals, we all still have to take that time to protect ourselves and make sure that like we're in a good space.
Yeah.
Because it is that whole thing of like, yeah, you can't be a good sibling if you're not like a good to yourself or whatever other
You
silly
can't love
thing.
anybody else if you don't love yourself.
Right.
That's fair. But also, like, how do you do that when there's so many? How do you keep up with so many people? Seriously, if anybody out there knows, like, genuinely, please tell us. I need to know, please.
And I think it's something, a conversation you and I have had before too, is people grow up in large sibling groups, and even the sibling groups who grow up together have different relationships with each other and are closer to certain siblings than they are to others. Not everybody like talks all the time, that sort of a thing. And that's okay.
Definitely.
And I mean, that's kind of what we're learning too. But I know I have my own like guilt issues too, just in general. So often it's like a, well, I say I love you to you and Claire all the time. I don't ne necessarily say that to everybody, mostly because we don't all talk all the time too.
Yeah, or like say that all the time, but
Yeah.
in general, love is a very like silly and complicated concept where it's a word that like can be thrown around, but also like when you know it's true, you do. So like to a degree that's probably the case with the siblings.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be like, hey, new sibling, I love you. Like, I don't
Yeah, but
know
I
you.
at the same time, like we do have love for them. I mean, that's what's complicated about love is you can have love for somebody, but also not love them.
Right.
I don't think English has enough language around this, mostly.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because I think, like I was kind of saying before, I pretty much instantly feel a connection with a sibling and I care about them. There needs to be something stronger than, like, hey, you're a real cool person.
You're super cool. You want to be my friend?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to say the least. I mean, at this point, I know that we'll continue to gain siblings, so we'll have this conversation
Probably again.
again.
Yeah.
And also with some of our other siblings too, when
Yeah.
they are here with us.
I'm sure it's something that will come up when just talking about our story in general.
Right. But I'm glad that we have this outlet now, and I'm hopeful that it leads to more like education and that people can see why being truthful from the jump is important and why anonymous donors suck. And
Yeah.
that, like, because I honestly, at this point, I could care less about communicating with our donor. I get really upset about the time that we missed as siblings
Yeah, me too.
and how important that those, like, being able to build those connections or, like, know your full truth, like, your full genetic truth. And I hope that, like, everybody listening to this can kind of start to understand that a little bit and also ask us questions about it if there's anything that's like unclear or any curiosities that other people have too, because I know there's,
A
I mean, anybody
plethora.
I tell it, say anything to, they always have their first thing is always like, oh my God, I have 5 million questions. It's like,
Which,
yeah, I get
if you're
it.
asking for them, please ask. It's more the times when you aren't ready for them that you're like,
Right.
maybe not this second. But that doesn't mean we're not happy to answer questions most of the time,
Right.
particularly for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, at this point, this is going to be episode 2 that you're listening to currently. I'm flying out to California in a few days. And Leisha and I will be in the same space.
Yeah.
And I'm just really looking forward to exploring all of these things and really glad that we have this space to unpack something that happened now.
Yeah, this is very therapeutic. So, thanks for listening, and coming on this journey with us. I'm feeling a bit better. How are you feeling?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty okay. Yeah. So make sure that you subscribe.
Please. Oh, if you wouldn't mind giving us, a 5-star rating, that'd be much appreciated.
Yeah, super appreciated. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Those will be in the show notes, and we will
Chat with you soon.
see you guys next week.
Bye. This feels